Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Arizona broadcast of the Fishermen Ministry. Glad y'all could join us today. Let's get started.
Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Wanna see Jesus lifted. to see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, we're moving forward, little by little, taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. We want to see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land. See Jesus lifted high. We wanna see, wanna see, wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see, wanna see, wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see, wanna see, wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, we're moving forward. Little by little, taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land. That all men might see the truth and know He is the way. Turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord of my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone. You can make it tender again with your love. Take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord of my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone. You can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a tonight, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger, a hunger in my heart. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a
Good morning, everybody. Well, I don't know about anyone else, but having heard Paul preach this morning and Philip preach this morning, I was listening to what Paul said about the struggle after returning home from the conference. And for me, it has been a struggle, I believe, of putting my eyes on myself and my shortcomings and my failure, instead of keeping my eyes on Jesus and his great success. Philip talked this morning about not allowing anything to rob you of what the Lord has for you. And it's so easy to be distracted and allow the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy, whether it's to destroy your hope, to remove the joy that you had, to remove peace from your life, whatever it is. It's so easy to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and the great sacrifice he did for each of us and put our eyes back on us. Whether it's in pride in how great we are and how special and wonderful we are, or our shortcomings, which still keep our eyes off the Lord. Ricky talked during the conference about the baggage we carry around with us. And I thought it was quite a profound thing that he said. He said that we carry so much baggage around with us. It's like, can you imagine at the airports, the baggage that you take on an airplane you have to pay for? If we had to pay for the baggage that we carry around with us every day, I bet you'd put that baggage off pretty quick because it would get darn expensive. But what you don't realize is it is expensive. It's costing you. Because holding on to that, you don't have joy. You keep your eyes looking inward instead of looking at Jesus. In 1 Peter 5:6 it says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Lay down those burdens. Lay down that baggage. Lay down that crap that wants to hold you back. Keep your eyes on you. Keep your eyes on your shortcomings, your failure, your anything. He cares for you. But you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then cast all your cares upon him. Because he cares for you. You have to believe that. You won't cast your cares onto him if you don't believe that he cares for you. And if you feel like it's an impossibility, if you feel like a walk of faith in Jesus Christ, I know I have been attacked, or I have felt attacked, or felt burdened over the last week since coming back from conference. I have felt weighed down and a failure and like I can't do anything. And sitting and listening to the songs this morning reminded me that, no, you're dead right. I cannot do anything. But I don't have to do it. He does. All I have to do is walk by faith in him and by his faith. He is well able to accomplish everything. I am well able to destroy everything. But when you feel like it's impossible, you've got to turn back to the Word and read these scriptures that tell you that He cares for you. Cast all your cares unto Him, for He cares for you. You have to humble yourself to do that. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, I'm not going to read the whole of it, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Boy, I know we've covered this. I know we've covered this at conference. I know we've covered this since conference. But for some reason, those thoughts that seem to derail my path have been condemning me. And instead of leaning on the Word and the truth and His ability, I've allowed myself to be trampled down. This morning, the scripture came to me of, I was reminded of the scripture of Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. There are those we can mark and we can watch that their walk with the Lord has been one that has stood the test of time. That should give you hope. That should encourage you and strengthen you. That if you do likewise, if you stand in Him and His ability and the confidence that He is able, in spite of you, not because of how great you are or not because of your failings, but in spite of you, He is able. That should encourage you. Put your eyes back on Jesus Christ. Take them off you and your success or failure. And just watch Him move.
I've been thinking a lot just about the gospel. I was talking to a young man this week and claims to be a Christian, claims to be a believer, and his criteria for that is that he believes in God. I said, believing in God does not make you a Christian. Believing the gospel, giving your life to the Lord, trusting in Him, or trusting on Him even better. That's what makes you a Christian. Just to believe in God is no big deal, man. Devils believe and tremble. It's really of no value. But it got me thinking about the gospel, just the simplicity of it. Because the churches today complicate it. You know, Scott Bishop was talking earlier about gifts with strings. If there's a gift with strings, it's not a gift. It's a payment. Isn't it? It's a payment. God's gifts don't come with strings. Now, here's the thing. If you come to the Lord understanding the gospel, understanding who you are, understanding how badly you need the gospel, let me tell you what, you're going to throw yourself down at His feet and you're going to worship Him and you're going to serve Him and you're going to love Him. But if you come to Jesus and you think that there's something redeemable about you, you're going to miss the point. You see, part of the gospel and receiving the gospel is to acknowledge that you cannot do it without Christ. In fact, you can't do it at all. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? See,
to really understand the gospel, you have to understand, you have to receive, you have to accept and embrace and recognize whatever word works for you. You have to just get down to the crux of it that you are not worthy on your own merits, period. There is absolutely nothing redeemable about you whatsoever. Nothing. Absolutely nothing you have to offer God can wipe out your debt. See, you talked a little bit about baggage, Sue, and if we had to pay for it. And I remember that. I thought that was pretty cool. Thank you, Lord, on that one. But here's what we don't realize is that baggage, like you said, does cost us. And it's sort of like a credit card. You know, you can go buy a bunch of stuff, but the bill's going to come. Right? Bill's going to show up. And when the bill shows up and it says pay this amount, what happens when you don't have it? Here's the thing that people don't get. Your debt is beyond you ever being able to repay it. I don't care if you lived a million years, you could not repay the debt you owe. The gospel is that Jesus paid it for you. That's the gospel. And when you can realize that your debt is so insurmountable that it's an impossibility for you ever to repay it. And then you realize that his blood on the cross was sufficient to cover all of your debt. There's going to be a change in your heart. There's going to be a joy. There's going to be a love. There's going to be a desire to serve the Lord, to serve the one who loved you enough to pay your debt. Scripture I was thinking about this morning is over in Luke 7. As we read this story, let me find the verses I'm going to get to. Okay, here we start verse 36. We read this story. I want you to think of the parties that are in the story, the characters. And I want you to seek your heart and seek the Lord and ask yourself, who are you? Who are you in this story? Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed him with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known, who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Now the scene is very, very self-explanatory, is it not? Who are you in the story? Verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. See, that Pharisee thought himself equal to God. Do you understand the offense that that is? He considered himself a contemporary and equal to Christ himself. And that type of mentality exists so rampantly in the church today that Christians, actually so-called Christians, actually think they're equal to Christ, the one who hung on the cross and gave his blood for their very souls. They think they're equal to him. You are not equal. You are not equal. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. What is it? How much humility does it take to get down on your knees and wash someone's feet with your tears and to kiss their feet that has been walking in the desert with sandals? She knew her sin. She knew how desperately she needed Jesus, and did not count herself worthy to even look him in the eye. Consider that. Consider who you are in this story. Where do you fall in this story? Do you understand the depravity of the carnal man? Paul understood it when he likened it to a dead corpse being strapped to him. He understood it. And he understood, incredibly so, the grace of God, because he fought fervently for the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout his entire ministry. And in the end, they killed him for it. Who were you in this story? My head with oil thou didst not anoint. See, these were common courtesies you would give to someone, especially someone that you honored. But the fact that he didn't do it meant he didn't even honor him. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that are meet with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is over in 1 John, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many times have we discussed that scripture? Over and over and over. See, mercy and grace, they need to apply where guilt exists. You understand? Do you understand? If you don't consider yourself guilty, you're not going to understand the grace of God. But let me tell you something. You are guilty. You are 1,000% guilty. But the gospel is that you don't have to pay the check when the bill comes in. If you simply accept that gift of grace and receive the gospel, I challenge you to pray the prayer, Lord, show me my heart. I challenge you to pray, Lord, I don't want to be that Pharisee that considers myself equal to you. I don't want to be that. I challenge you to pray that prayer and beseech the Lord to show you just how much you need his gospel. I'm going to give you a story. Confession, if you will. Because I struggled with this for years and years and years. And the Lord has done many things in my life to try and show me how much I needed his gospel. I remember one day reading the story of Eli the priest and Samuel. I go back and I start reading Samuel. I really like those historical passages. I like them. And I'm reading the story about Samuel and how God is bringing Samuel up. And the why he's bringing Samuel up is because Eli's sons were not following God. You see, they were abominable in God's eyes. To the point that they would lay with the women that came to the temple to sacrifice. Can you think of anything more despicable than the priests? Children, his very sons, those that were to take on after him, to be whoring around with the women at the temple. Can you think of anything more despicable than that? And as I was thinking that very thing, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, "How are you any different?" As I did the same thing. And God's judgment on those sons and on Eli was he killed them. But God had grace on me. I repented of those works, of those actions. I sought forgiveness. I'm a living testimony of someone that can stand here and tell you that despite that despicable action, the truth of God's word that he says, if you confess your sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I can stand here as proof positive that that is absolutely the truth. And I can stand as a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ because I know my debt, I can't pay it. I can't. But I also know that his blood already has. And it's washed away the handwriting of ordinances that stood against me. That's the gospel. That's the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what's there for you. That's what's there for you. I pray, Lord, Father, let your anointing break the hardness in the hearts of those people that will hear your gospel. Father, if it be possible, let your church recognize how desperately they need you. If it be possible, Lord, for a redeeming time in our lifetime, that we come to you again in earnest and put off all those things. And serve you in truth, Lord Jesus.
Called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. Lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Joy of thy salvation,
and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.